wanted the best, you've got the best podcast. The hottest podcast in the world. The Chris Voss Show, the preeminent podcast with guests so smart you may experience serious brain bleed. The CEOs, authors, thought leaders, visionaries, and motivators. Get ready. Strap yourself in. Keep your hands, arms, and legs inside the vehicle at all times, because you're about to go on a monster education roller coaster with your brain. Now, here's your host, Chris Voss.
Hi, folks. It's Voss here from thechrisvossshow.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Iron Lady sings, and that makes it official. Welcome to the big show. As always, we bring you the most smartest people on the show, the CEOs, the billionaires. We just had our fourth billionaire on last week. Be sure to check out that show. I'll be talking about the future of the metaverse. The Pulitzer Prize winners, the authors, people who sit down with their lives and teach you the lessons they've learned. And as we always say on the show, stories are the owner's manual to life. And so people share with you their cathartic moments, their journeys, their tales of failure and successes, and they help you avoid some of those things if you listen to the show. That's the whole reason you're here, people, is avoid making the same mistakes everyone else makes. Or some of you may just be shopping for new mistakes to make. Hey, I'm out of it. I'm always making the same mistakes, but these ones are getting boring. Let me pick up some new ones. Oh, there's some new ones. Let's do that. Seek help, people. Like, it's in therapy. Anyway, go to goodreads.com/ChrisVoss, linkedin.com/ChrisVoss, Chris Voss one on the TikTokity, and ChrisVossFacebook.com. Today, we had an amazing gentleman on the show. We're going to be talking about his new book that came out October 2nd, 2023. It's called No Grail Without Dragons. I love that title, and I love the dragon eating itself, which is the old snake, I think, on the cover of his book. But let me recut the title here, too, to make sure you get the full value. No Grail Without Dragons, A Man's Unconventional Path to Love, Purpose, and Peace. And as we all know, as men, peace is really important to us. Victor Gisfredi joins us on the show today. We're going to be talking to him about his book and everything that went inside of it and some of the journalism of his life. He's an entrepreneur, a coach, an author, and brings a wealth of experience to his followers and readers with a background that spans multiple businesses, inventions, and living and working across the world. His journey fuels his passion for helping others to overcome life's challenges. Armed with the wisdom garnered from overcoming a nomad lifestyle, two divorces, wow, childhood trauma, and raising two children as a single parent, his purpose is to guide others through their toughest challenges and help them unleash the power within. Welcome to the show. How are you, Victor?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me. I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Thanks for coming. It's wonderful to have you as well. Give us your .coms on the interwebs there.
Sure. My main website is victorjustfreddy.com and nograilwithoutdragons.com.
There you go. No Grail Without Dragons. I love the title of that. What is the meaning behind that?
Thank you. It was inspired by mythology and the fact that many of the dragons and monsters throughout history or human history are mostly representations of the things that we deal with in our minds and these abstract scenarios that we have to wrestle with to get to certain situation, or in this case, my grail, which was love, wealth, and health.
Love, wealth, and health. There you go. Those are. It's always good to have all three of those. You can at least have the health part. You're doing pretty good. But the other two are kind of nice add-ons. I'm old, so health is kind of becoming paramount. But money is also good because money can help buy you some health in today's doctor world in the U.S.
So give and it can help you look better if you're older. So
I already look great, so I've got that working for me. But you're right. Give us a 30,000 overview. What's inside your new book?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Give us a 30,000 overview of what's inside your new book.
So my new book contains the most valuable lessons that I learned through life. So I've always had this existential crisis between what I've done and what I wanted to really do. And to put out or find my purpose, I've launched multiple businesses, I've dated a lot, been married twice and divorced twice. And it came to a point where I realized that more valuable than money were the lessons that I had earned throughout life, which were things that I paid in blood and pain. They're all lessons that I had to learn after massive failure. And so my book is a compendium of 33 of the most valuable lessons I learned, intended to leave behind for my children, but then it evolved into editing it and aiming at men of my generation, which are usually struggling with the same issues.
There you go. And what generation are you in?
I'm not sure, because by definition, I'm a millennial, but I'm a millennial by a year. And the fact that I grew up in a different country, which was probably about 50 years behind in technology, I could have been two or three generations old by now.
But Gen X or something. I think there's a thing for being on the cusp. You kind of ride both benefits of, or benefits and liabilities of both generations, maybe. So there you go. That Gen X would have been, you were born a year of, or were you born a year of Gen Z? You couldn't have been Gen Z, right? You're too.
Yeah, I mean, born in 84, that qualifies me as a millennial. So
I just want to make sure. I'm like, it could be Gen X, but he doesn't look Gen X. But or Gen Z, I mean, Gen Z.
I don't know anymore.
There you go. I mean, at least you're close to the greatest generation ever, Gen X.
So says every generation.
Not really. I mean, we know where the rest of them are at. So it's designed to help men, and you feel like a lot of men are kind of lost and struggling now. Why do you feel men are having a hard time, like in your generation, the things you address in your book?
I believe the main obstacle is our development in the emotional and spiritual side of things, areas that I neglected most of my life because I had been raised to pursue perfectionism and accomplishments and being the top of the bunch. Mm-hmm. So I came to realize how inadequate my emotional and spiritual side of handling life was when I became a single dad. And having to care for two kids full-time without a job really shed a lot of light in how I was inadequate as a human being, and then expose a lot of my shortcomings, which were mostly dealing with an existential issue, wondering why I'm alive, searching for purpose, and then trying to find that peace within myself between the things that happen outside and how I felt I reacted.
There you go. And so you were kind of presented with a couple things. You had two divorces, and then it sounds like, we talked a little bit about this in the green room, it sounds like you were presented in a situation where you had to not only be a single father, but you also had to be the single mother or the mother as well to your two kids. Tell us how that happened.
I went through my second divorce without prior notice. I did my best to try to salvage things, but unfortunately neither one of us had the tools at the moment, and the kids just became a consequence of the divorce, unfortunately, for them. And so when I first separated, COVID quarantine kicked in and I had gotten laid off. And shortly after, my ex had gotten another job. So she worked two shifts to sustain her expenses. And then the kids ended up in my full custody 24/7. So ever since the beginning of COVID up until today, I've been the 98% caregiver of my kids.
There you go. So you technically, since she's working all the time, you have to play mother and father, which is technically the way it wasn't supposed to be. Do you feel like that kind of put you in a position where you had to deal with, you know, exploring your feminine and your emotional side? Do you think if otherwise you would have been just fine without it?
That's a complex question, because on one hand, I was raised to be the toughest of the bunch. I've been into martial arts since little. I had a tough childhood, tough upbringing, and moving around the world so many times, uprooted since an early age, put me in a place where I didn't embrace vulnerability and or being perceived as weak, because in many situations I couldn't. I lived in cities in the world where if you are not perceived as a tough guy or a threat, then you're the victim. And
yeah, they'll see you.
And stumbling upon this role, it was an eye opener, because I thought I was a manly man, but realizing that I suffer from anger issues of an emotional hurricane inside, I had guilt, I had regrets, and in many ways I repeated the mistakes of my father. That opened my eyes into the mother role and how important a mother and a woman is in a life's men, because they're naturally equipped to deal with the emotional turmoil that most of us, you know, wrestle with, and I wasn't. So I had to learn from scratch how to develop that emotional side. I call it feminine, or most, I think people call it feminine simply because it's something that doesn't come naturally to us.
Yeah.
But I think I just got softer. I learned to shed my armor and embrace the emotional aspect of life, right? Just opening myself emotionally more to experience more. And And yeah, that's how I stumbled upon the role of mom and what I learned from it.
There you go. You know, and it sounds like what you were developing was emotional intelligence. So,
indeed.
So you're kind of aware of your thing. Now, let's talk about you growing up and what influenced you, because people always want to know who the author is early on. Tell us how you grew up. There's something I think I read in the bio about trauma. Talk to us about how you're growing up, how you're raised, what influenced you, et cetera, et cetera.
I was born in a small town in Mendoza, Argentina, which is the capital of Malbec wine. So if you're into Malbec wine, that's where most of Malbec comes from. And I didn't have a father until 2 years old when my stepdad came into my life. So he raised me in a strict environment. I wasn't allowed to answer no. I wasn't allowed to answer anything other than yes, dad, regardless of how I felt. And I was often punished for things that I consider were exaggerated. And little by little, I built a lot of resentment, and that came out in other areas. I liked exploring outdoors. Later on, I started a band, the businesses that I launched, the inventions, and all of those were outlets to let out that repressed anger that I had inside. But a big part of the reason why I ended up being an author is because I found the ingredients for the recipe to unwind that tangled emotional issue. And well, my background had a big role in the way that I saw the world until I was forced to see it in a different light.
It sounds like you grew up and were raised actually living not really in your masculine, but in an emotional state, which is feminine. You were masking it with confidence and probably what your stepfather beat into you, where he, you know, made you a little hardened, if you will. But really, you were hiding all of that underneath. Does that sound like a good assessment?
Oh, absolutely. That's dead on. And that helped me develop this opposition for authority. So I became tougher because eventually I realized that I could overcome physical pain by detaching from it when I experienced it. And I started losing the fear of what could happen because of how bad I felt with myself. Because that repressed anger never went away. It just got bigger and stronger, and it developed into a lot of nasty emotions. So bless you. So I think it was just the natural outlet to either strive or die. And you're right. I was in a submissive situation for most of my life until I decided to become a rebel.
Mm. Do you find that impacted your marriages?
Absolutely, because we as human beings can't help but to learn from those around us.
And definitely.
I didn't have the best role models when it came to conflict resolution, and then the inherited beliefs, you know, the macho beliefs that were still in place when I grew up were things that I carried with me, and I had to slowly also unwind that myth to realize how off the path I really was.
Have you ever studied Meditations by Marcus Aurelius and Stoicism?
Oh, yes. Meditations is a go-to for me. I've been reading it for many years.
It is so wonderful. And Stoicism, you know, a lot of people, a lot of men think they're being masculine, and they put up a lot of faux masculine sort of mass, if you will. But really, when you're in an emotional state, you're dealing with emotions and you haven't developed that emotional intelligence, you're really living in your feminine. And a lot of guys don't realize that. You know, guys who go, these kids who go shoot up schools, that's not a masculine thing. That is a feminine thing, because they can't control their emotions. And so, as you know, through Stoicism, which is really the cornerstone of what masculinity is you can have emotions as a man. It's how you react to them, and how you don't let them control you, and how you have emotional intelligence to where you can look at your emotions and go, okay, I'm feeling something, but what does that mean? How do I need to react to it? Is it logical if I react to it in a certain way? You know, does it make sense? Surely, you know, you can fly off the handle about any emotion one has, stubbing your toe or dropping something on the carpet or your dog dying. You could have whatever the type of emotion that might come upon you. But as a man, we have that logic and reason brain where we can sit and go, is this really valid? Do I really need to feel this right now? Is this really important? And of course, you're interacting with your kids and having to play both the feminine, because they need that in their life. It sounds like one of the things you didn't have as a child was you didn't have your father in the home. And your father likely would have treated you very differently and had maybe more of an emotional relationship with you, logic and reason with you, instead of just trying to contain you. And that's really what I find with a lot of crippled men nowadays, is that father wasn't in the home. And that makes all the difference. I mean, people need to realize that in today's world. At least that's my opinion. Any thoughts you have on it?
I can only agree with you, because as a dad, my son, it's an extension of me. And in many ways, I understand my son because I understand myself. But yeah, being raised by a stepdad, and I didn't realize he was my stepdad until I turned 11. So,
really?
And oh, right. And I only found out because a friend of mine that I had made in this little village we moved to, his mom worked for my family. My family was wealthy back in that time, and she was a nanny in my house. And she knew when my mother was pregnant and there was nobody there. And then she met my father 2 years later when he came into my life. And so there was always a disconnect and a difference between the way he treated me and treated others and then my brothers. And finding out that he wasn't my biological dad checked a lot of points. So I agree with you that the father missing in the life of a man, it's a big deal, because we learn how to handle things from them. And if they don't understand you, well, in my case, the fact that he didn't understand my personality, that created a lot of conflict, because what I perceived to be quiet, he perceived to be cocky. And so I agree with you.
It sounds like, you know, I mean, he was trying to contain you because you weren't his child. You know, you know what it's like as a father. I've heard this a lot. I don't know what it's like, but I've heard enough of it to believe it. But when a father and a mother sees their child for the first time, there's a dopamine chemical reaction that goes in the brain that pair bonds them and connects them. And when that happens, you just can't replace that role of a natural father or a natural mother. They cannot be replaced, because the love that you have for your child is just irreplaceable, that connection, that pair bond. And so, you know, a stepfather is not going to have that. I've played pseudo-stepdad before, and while you try and be the best dad you can, you just don't have that connection to them.
That's right.
And it's hard to replace. I've had conversations with birth fathers that I've been in relationships with their exes, and I've had to say, look, I'm not here to replace you. I'm not here to devalue you in front of your children. If anything, I encourage them to spend time with you and value you, because I can't replace you. You're their birth father, and it's really important that I don't interfere with that, because I understand the difference it makes. And, you know, the other thing you've addressed is childhood trauma. And childhood trauma like that feeds into the relationships you choose and how you go through life. And you can kind of see how that goes through there. So you're very successful. You 7 businesses launched, 2 innovative inventions, 35 homes you've had. You did have the 2 divorces, 40 jobs tackled. So you've done a lot of things, and you worked to achieve a lot of things. You mentioned there's like 33 tips in the book, I think it was, of advice for men. Can you tease us out maybe a few top ones a little bit?
Sure. One big takeaway from my journey, especially in the journey of relationships and love, is coming to the realization that we inherently have lots of responsibilities that many times we ignore just because we don't know any better. And we have the desire to fulfill them, just like you clean your home or wash your car, gives you a sense of fulfillment inside because you're fulfilling a responsibility. But there are many that we ignore when it comes to our emotional being. And one of them is achieving freedom by acknowledging that one cannot be free if he's also not committed to something. And a big trial, a big test came when who I'm engaged to with now, we were going through a rough patch, and we had been together for now almost 2 years. So my kids are getting used to her, and we're developing the relationship into the next level. And we went through a rough patch, and throughout this rough patch, she took a trip, and the next door neighbor came and flirted and did what most people or most men, or at least I thought was impossible, which is a gorgeous woman just coming and saying, hey, let's get it on. Nobody was ever going to find out. And it was a big test, because in the past, I was not able to pass that test. And this time around, after 2 divorces and paying my price for understanding the value of someone next to you and also your responsibility to protect their heart, I realized that by choosing not to do that, by choosing my partner and my partner's well-being over whatever impulse or ideal scenario I could conjure in my mind, actually freed me from feeling that temptation anymore. And it just anchored me into one person and making it like the North Star per se, right? My main guide and all of the decisions that I made from that point on. So one of them is, it's how I defeated lust, which is something that many men struggle with.
Definitely. We're kind of built to look around, see the terrain.
Yes, we are.
There's a biological reason for that, actually. But
yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. But there's definitely a mental aspect in looking at somebody else's car and saying, wow, that's a cool car. And another thing, thinking about breaking through the window and taking it for a test drive. Right?
Yeah. It's okay to window shop. Just don't buy if you're involved
nothing
in something
wrong.
Else.
Beauty. We're wired to appreciate beauty. That's for
definitely
sure.
We are. So some other tips maybe from the 33 that stick out that you'd like to share.
Sure. Another one is how, or at least the main concept of the book is how small changes in mindset and perspectives of how we see and interpret things have an actual effect in physical life, in our relationships, in our health, and our wealth. And I expose many vulnerable trials because they were the cornerstone of what forced me to think, hey, why am I thinking this way? I think you mentioned it before. We feel certain things and we feel those things because we think a certain way. And we think that way because we interpret events in a way that we either were taught to or developed throughout life through either past trauma or the experiences we've been exposed to. And so the main key, it's, and the main lesson that applies to all of the 33 chapters is how even just considering the way that we think and in which order we place thoughts in our head, how that impacts our emotional being, and our emotions impact our actions and then our results. Therefore, the title No Grail Without Dragons, because I didn't find what I saw most in life until I was willing to face my fears, to face my inadequacies, to admit that I was wrong, and to take a look at the things that I was proud of, perhaps as a hindrance.
Yeah, definitely. And that can make all the difference in the world. And understanding what's going on with yourself. So let's talk about what's on your website. You do coaching. What are some of the offerings you have there in working with men, et cetera, et cetera?
I do coaching sporadically just because I'm so busy writing and being a father. But when I coach high achieving men, usually those who have achieved most in life, businesses and Olympic athlete careers, military operators, and they're usually stuck in a plateau where they notice the difference between the competition, but they don't know what else to do to unlock the next level. And many times we give all of our physical self out. You can train for 12 hours and read and learn as much as you want, but sometimes a small turn in the way that you think or perceive things, it's all you need to break through that next stage.
Ah, there you go. It makes all the difference in the world. So how do people onboard with you when they want you to coach, when they want you to help them, et cetera, et cetera?
Commonly, someone will reach out to me via email based on whatever contact they have come through. I also have an intake form on the website that you can fill and just give me a rough overview of what it is that you're dealing with and how it is that I can help. From there, we move into a complimentary call where I do a little discovery on what issues it is that you're facing. And then we determine whether we're a good match for each other or not based on what it is that you're experiencing and my skill set, making sure that whatever I have can serve you best.
There you go. There you go. So give us your final thoughts and pitch out as we go out on the show. Tell people how they can onboard with you, what the .coms are, et cetera, et cetera.
If you're a man looking for the next key to unlock your potential, perhaps start a business, approach a relationship the right way, or defeat some of those emotional demons that we deal with, such as anger, regret, and inappropriate behavior, you can reach out to me on my website, victorjustready.com, send me an email or fill out an intake form, and then we can be in touch from there on.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like a great deal. It's been very insightful to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.
There you go. Thanks, Ronis, for tuning in. Go to goodreads.com for it, says Chris Voss. Order up the book wherever fine books are sold. No Grail Without Dragons, A Man's Unconventional Path to Love, Purpose, and Peace. Available October 2nd, 2023. Thanks for tuning in. Be good to each other. Stay safe. And we'll see you guys next time.